5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America.
One show at a time.
Are you ready to get on board?
When are you guys gonna learn? The more you indict, the more we unite. Facts. It's Trump 2024. We don't care. You heard me? We already made our mind up. You already know when the hood got your back. Man, they deep in the hood, gangsters, hollering about Trump 2024. You heard me? Woo, woo. Wah. Gangsters. The hood got this man back. I'm just trying to tell you. You heard me? And we ain't stupid, man. American people, man. We ain't all them talking about lockdowns and back wearing the masks and all that. You know, they got a new virus coming and it's gonna be, man, nobody don't care. Ain't fooling nobody no more with none of that. You know, new jack, man, nobody being fooled no more. We all the way up, you heard me? It's Trump 2024. That's what it's gonna be, cause we ain't having nothing else.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back, my friends. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program on the clock. And though I feel like this is a telethon, it was something that was completely spontaneous. And I don't know what the hell is going on our Wendy Bell Radio Network app. But I've got to say thousands of dollars have been pouring in donations to sponsor J6.com. I don't know what to say to you other than, geez, thank you. Thank you. I'm totally scattered. You know, there is a comfort in almost not knowing some things. It's almost a little protective. Because once you know something, you can't go back to being blissfully ignorant. And so learning and researching and spending time to find the truth, it comes with a price. And that is why I say we were made for this moment. You were made for this moment. There is a reason for you. There is a purpose for you. There is a calling for you. There is a cause for you. There is a need for you. And you're not required to be quiet on the sidelines. We don't want you to be. The idea of this army, of a battalion, a squadron, a movement, it isn't about one person. It's about that feeling you have inside when you grow scared because you learn something. It's that. We cannot continue on this path. It's not sustainable. And a huge thank you to the awakened Black community, who is so much, they're so much smarter and so much more conservative than they receive credit for being. They see through the nonsense of the James Clyburns coming out in South Carolina or whatever to gin up the Black vote. Joe Biden has lost the black vote, but it's not even him. It is this out of touch, indecent, scandalous, nonchalant behavior that our traditional American values reject. And it's being rejected most royally in the black community. I found this website. Actually, Brock did, sent it to me. It's called theblacksphere.net. And apparently, there's a guy named Kevin Jackson. And I'm going to presume, obviously, he's a radio host somewhere. He's written this article, which is really quite dazzling. And I think it underscores and proves to you that it's okay to feel that angst inside. It's okay to be angry. I go to bed and my jaw hurts because I carry it around with me. There's a reason I do 100 push-ups on the floor here, and I suffer through it every morning, and it sucks because I've got to get it out somehow. I've got to get out that frustration. That means you're alive and you're awake and you're engaged, and that's awesome. This is the black community. They are. Here's the story. Joe Biden and Democrats bleeding black votes. So in depth. The largest political shift occurred back in the 1930s during the Great Depression. FDR established all kinds of programs that allowed blacks to get out of the hot sun picking cotton and get onto the public dole. My grandfather said it was a choice between working 10 hours in the hot sun picking cotton for $40 a month or getting on the government dole and getting $50. Not much of a choice, even for the people willing to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. Doesn't that sound so much like COVID? Why would you work? We're going to pay you not to work. We're going to create that idea. We need you on the government dime to justify our bloated stabs, our gross spending, right? And we need to be able to come in on the horse and save the day. But you've got to be broken and addicted with your hands out. That's what's going on. Nate Cohn of the New York Times referenced FDR's New Deal coalition as an example of a genuine realignment of a community. Again, black voters overwhelmingly supported the Republican Party from the time of Abraham Lincoln until the 1930s, of course. However, the GOP ignored their plea for financial help. Many blacks during that time stated that the GOP was taking our vote for granted. Remember what I say about the pendulum swing. One can see similar patterns today. The only thing covering our depression is the spending and the debt. Financially, people are worse off than they were during the Great Depression. Just the effects are being pushed downstream like a vicious Ponzi scheme. People may earn more, but they're getting less. In fact, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, real earnings goes down, blah, blah, blah. Of course, they're woefully down since Joe Biden took office. Ironically, this decrease underscores the hardship Bidenomics has created for black and Latino voters. The cumulative increase in the consumer price index during Biden's tenure has hit 17.1%. That's cataclysmic. It's super brutal when you're already hurting. Biden will not win re-election. And he certainly won't win any election. Frankly, the man is the Chamber of Commerce for the Republican Party, and he calls it the Re-Trumplican Party. By now, we've been well informed about Biden's polling woes, but things have worsened. Not only did Biden not get his State of the Union bounce, polls are worse than ever. Nate Silver highlighted Democrats' worst nightmare. Joe Biden cannot beat Donald Trump, at least not in a fair fight. Bing, bang, 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 bang. Joe Biden has eroded the base of the Democratic Party. Consider that Biden currently has 38% approval when, generally speaking, nobody dips below 40% even in a bad year. In the year that Carter lost to Reagan, Carter was at 43%. Joe Biden is 5 points under one of the worst presidents in history. No more will these voters adopt generational norms and reflexively vote for Democrats. Biden's policies managed to filter down to the level where the least common denominator voter feels the pain. When Biden inflation hits you directly, you begin to look for answers. The search for answers from Democrats always leads to lies. Conservatives speak often of the destruction of entire ecosystems by Democrats. Cities are dying, as are academic institutions, businesses, and so on, that adopt leftist ideologies. Illegal immigration exacerbates current leftist-created problems, as does idiotic ideas like BLM and defund the police, to name a couple. And there are many, many equally insane ideologically speaking. This is the horror story for Democrats in a graphic. And it looks at a gap in 1964. The Kennedy Democrats reigned at the time. Reagan closed the gap back in 1984. Clinton widened it. This is the gap between how many black voters were voting Democrat versus Republican. Barack Obama widened it again. Joe Biden has shut the door. Biden led Trump by almost 10 points among non-white voters in the most recent New York Times poll. He won that by 50 points in 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, we are seeing a political realignment, the likes of which we have not seen, I haven't seen in my lifetime. Because, by the way, Black and Latino voters see just as well as we do when Joe Biden, Barack Obama, or Bill Clinton go to Radio City Music Hall instead of driving 37 miles to do what's right. Quick timeout when we're back on the Wendy Bell Radio program. I got this poll result for you. It's the young voters, and it is devastating for the left. I got it for you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Hey! Well, it looks like our sponsor J6.com donation frenzy here in an hour. It looks like it's over $4,000. I don't know what to say. I want to remind you guys to pay close attention, not even remind you, encourage, open the door maybe, to pay attention to these Generation Z voters. All of my sons are Generation Z. I have three now who can vote. These are very shrewd young people. They are keenly aware of money. They know what is available to them, what kind of options they have. And when my son, Michael, who's 24, who is planning on ultimately leaving the nest later this summer to live with high school friends in Florida and to embark on him, told me, he says, I don't know any of my friends really, save maybe one who's able to work and have a social life and pay their bills in order to pay what needs to be paid to survive outside of the nest requires oftentimes more than one job. And so a lot of my friends are getting help. And I could see that that bothers him and it frightens him. Now, I'm one of those people who believes you can do anything. So go surprise yourself and know that we're here to help, but that you don't want that, right? So when I see this poll, we have sound to get to too, I haven't even gotten to, that'll probably hit in the next half hour. When I see this poll, I think it's really interesting. And it's what voters under the age of 30 are looking for in a president, all right? What are voters under 30 looking for in a president? Which one are they looking for in a president? Well, when you ask voters under the age of 30 who they think they might want to vote for, it's Donald Trump. By what percentage do you guys think? 2, 3, maybe. And at that, you'd be surprised. How about plus 18? How about plus 18? How about when you add in Jill Stein, Colonel West, RFK Jr., along with Joe and Donald Trump? Donald Trump's lead goes up 21%. This is what's going on in the minds of young voters. They're not fools. Now, Brock, I have to ask you, what do you think we do? Do I hit some of the sound? Do I push it over into the next half hour? Because I've been a mess.
You do what you do. You, I'll follow you.
I want to get to at least a couple of these sound bites. Here's Wolf Blitzer on CNN, okay? I want you to hear as they're sort of talking about this juxtaposition, this Obama's in town with Clinton and Biden, and there's this big thing going on, and it's super important because they know they're hemorrhaging these voters that they need. Black, Hispanic, young, suburban. You'll hear it all right here. Wolf Blitzer talking to a woman named Nia Malika Henderson. She's a senior political analyst at CNN. They know what the issue is. They know where Joe Biden is sucking wind. And they say it here. Start.
And those are the kind of voters, African-American voters, young voters, Latino voters, as well as suburban voters. Those are all the kind of voters that that Obama is so good at energizing and sort of branding the Democratic Party as a winning party, as the party of the future, as a sort of normal party. I think John rightly points out that part of tonight is just showcasing the Democratic brand. And that's something that Obama can do, I think, for Biden.
Well, the Democratic brand sucks. Barack Obama sucks. Everything they're doing sucks. And they know it, which is why they're out dancing like this. Audio soundbite number two, Wolf Blitzer brings in his national correspondent, John King, to wax poetic about what the left is all about. It's about rights. This is where you're losing it, guys. Go.
You have Bill Clinton, right? You know, the last president to have a balanced budget. He was the different kind of Democrat, more of a centrist. Obama, more left of center. Obamacare. They want to talk about the issues, reproductive rights. They want to talk about civil rights. They want to talk about gay rights. They want to talk about the issues that they hope will motivate those disillusioned voters out there to remind them. Maybe you're mad about something. Maybe you're mad about Israel Gaza. A lot of young voters very angry at the president right now about that. Maybe you're mad about that. But look at the broader issues portfolio that we put forward, these three Democratic presidents. Then look at the other guy. There's your choice.
Disillusioned voters? Maybe you're mad about that? Hey, John, I'm mad about 37 miles, yo. It took 37 miles for those three presidents to drive to the funeral home and see the widow and the baby of a cop who ought not have been killed. You hack. Nia Malika Henderson, I think I have time to squeeze her in here. She's going to tell you all about the $25 million they raised, as though that's exactly what America, which is sucking right now, cash-strapped, this is what it's all about. Listen.
It's going to be about ads. They've already got ads up in swing states, and you see some of this working in some ways. I think if you sort of look at the State of the Union as a time when there was sort of a shift in voters' minds, the voters who watched that, particularly Democratic voters, felt like this was an energized president, and then they put a bunch of money into putting campaign ads.
All right, stop it there. Campaign ads in swing states. This is not what anybody wants. We don't care about your ads. We want proof of concept. And the proof that we have is that you're awful and need to get out. We'll continue the conversation next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So I've been sharing where I can, piecemeal nature sharing with all of you without totally trampling on my son's privacy. That we have been going through with our third boy, the machinations of college applications. And we could argue that it's always been weird. It's gotten super weird lately. Box checking. I think that the amount of people who get perfect scores on the SAT means that it's a whole different test. The rules have changed. What are we doing? This is not moving the needle. And so now we're in this weird conundrum about getting to see these various schools so our son can make a choice. Blessed that he has the privilege to choose, right? And that one of them has given him a significant incentive to be part of their everything, right? But I have to ask you guys, those of you who went to college, how many of you say that your college degree is super useful when you leave school? Okay, so for mine, I have two. I have a master's degree and a bachelor's degree. Bachelor's in journalism and mass communication, broadcasting, same ilk at Mizzou for graduate school. I would tell you that I've used quite a bit. when I got into my major. All the other stuff, eh, I don't know, right? I'm still terrible with geography, right? This is wild. This is very wild. 52% of graduates, 52% say they do not use their college degrees. And this is a very interesting article. And it's a video by Patrick Bet David. And it's called The College Degree Scam. And I got to say, I agree 100%. It's a scam. Absolute scam. But much like everything else, you wonder, when is it going to max out? When is it going to tap out? Is it when all college tuition is $100,000 a year and therefore no one can afford it? Like, what is that point? I don't know, but it's a fascinating article. According to researchers at labor analytics firm The Burning Glass Institute, a nonprofit group, Strata Engineer or Education Foundation, about 52% of people with a terminal bachelor's degree remain underemployed 5 years after graduation. Underemployed. And 45% remain underemployed 10 years after that. You know what they say? Well, if you get a college degree, you're going to make $1 million more at a minimum in your lifetime than somebody who decides not to go to college, goes to a trade school or goes to beauty school or does landscaping or whatever, right? Well, apparently we're blowing that narrative up, and it's probably long past time for us to do this. According to this survey conducted by Grand Canyon University and Grand Canyon Education, 81% of Americans choose their major based on their love for a topic, while just 19% choose it for a guaranteed income. Kind of interesting. And then it goes through all of these different things. How did each generation choose their college major? Baby boomers, 77% chose it for love. All the way up to Generation Z, 78%. Very consistent. This is odd, though. 6.2 out of every 10 Americans who choose their college major for love feel regretful of that decision. Well, it's not that uncommon to say that, though, because everybody's strapped for cash. 65% of Americans have changed occupations to a role that was different than their college major. The most common reason for this change is higher income and financial stability. Let's talk about the unemployment rate of recent college graduates as of February of last year. The fine arts majors come in first, with 12.1% being jobless. Think about all of these wacky majors. The so-and-so diaspora, right? So-and-so gender studies of ecological blah, blah, blah. You're like, what? What even is that? Well, it's called unemployment. Fine arts degrees, 12.1% unemployed. Philosophy, 9.1% unemployed. Sociology, 9%. Mass media, 8.4%. Brock, you put your arm up. It looks like almost like you can affiliate
well,
with
that. Well, when you're talking about underpaid, you know, you could charge $35,000 to $50,000 a year for a degree that you're going to come out making $35,000. And that's good.
Yeah, and I came out making that, and that was in 1994.
And it has not gone up.
And it hasn't really changed, right? So it goes through all of these things. Physics is the one with the lowest unemployment, which is interesting. And it goes on to all of these other nuanced takeaways about people not using their college degrees for what, I don't know, we're told all through high school, all growing up, that we should be using them for. The bottom line and my takeaway from this particular story, 52% of graduates don't use their degrees. We have to rethink what we're doing. Why is it that in the real world, the young Black non-college educated men, and I hate saying non-college educated because it's like this stain. It's like this scarlet letter, like, ooh, you didn't go to college. I think we're going to be looking at it instead as saying, oh, you're one of the smart people who didn't get totally bogged down by debt. And instead you decided to go and become a whatever a plumber, a bricklayer, an HVAC dude or gal, good for you. We're going to have a switching ideology. Because if the recent graduates are any indication, it's not like these $100,000 careers are opening themselves up. It's all garbage work. A lot of garbage work. And now you've even heard it. Chuck Schumer, I heard him speaking. He was talking about how we've got birth rates down in this country. We have a generation not multiplying at a pace like China to earn enough to take care of the aging population. Does anybody want to take a shot in the dark why that might be? Right? I could go with a bunch of different things. I could go with COVID. COVID eliminated a lot of people. I could say that vaccine. Vaccine eliminated a lot of people, whether you want to say it or not. I will. What else? Fentanyl. Knocking out a generation of future child bearers. How about it? And Chuck Schumer was saying, you know what? We don't have these young people coming up through the ranks anymore. We've got to welcome these migrants in from other countries in order to sustain, in order to survive. Are you guys hearing all of the messaging? It's almost as though they want to cattle shoot everybody into some kind of a degree, no matter how beneficial the degree is at all, so that they can be brainwashed. They can finish the job of the indoctrination, the clone troopering, if you will, get everybody in their cattle chutes, and then render them woefully broke, completely in debt, and then let somebody like a Joe Biden ride in on the white horse with the flag and wave his magic wand and do away with the debt and then create some kind of a connection between those who are in debt and absolved and the person who did it. That's not how this works. That's antithetical to everything that we as conservatives believe in. And I think that is what this is going to come down to. Like, we have to have some serious conversations with our children about reality moving forward. And I know how many of you have. My husband said to me last night, I would never allow any of our kids to go into the military right now. Isn't that a shame? I wouldn't want our kids, I wouldn't want our boys sacrificed as the collateral damage for another useless war somewhere that isn't moving any needles. It's just draining the Americans dry, economically speaking, because that's all it is, money laundering operation. And we know hundreds of thousands of people killed in the crossfire. Well, it is what it is. It's the price of war. I would never let our sons serve in the military. What are you seeing with the police? I would never let one of my children go into law enforcement. Would you say that? Because we need them now more than ever. And according to all of the bureaus, you don't even need to have a college degree anymore. The pickings are so slim because nobody wants the job. It flashes me back to the 1930s. We're black voters, black Americans, we're told. What do you want? You want to be in the fields? You want to make $40 in the hot sun, sweating? Or do you want the government to give you $50 and you can stay inside and do something else? This is the same thing, history repeating itself. Does this generation of young voters, however, do they have what it takes to break free from the shackles of that circle? Yes. 100% yes. And that poll I just told you about, voters under 30, who do you want, one or the other? Trump, Biden. Trump by 18 points? Bring in all your third party candidates. Who do you want? Trump by 21. There's no question. 37 miles, ladies and gentlemen. 37 miles between Donald Trump at that funeral home on Long Island with the widow of Officer Diller and her son. 37 miles from there, the greatest disconnect, punch in your crotch that you've gotten today. Three yuckety yuck, bringing in the funds presidents. Who don't see, who don't care, who will not change, period. This is where my mind is today. And I want to tell you this. You've got to love. You've got to love, and we're gonna read you the story. You have to love when the Biden administration decides to step into something that is so none of their business. Like, oh, I don't know, other countries' elections. Well, we know that the CIA, that our government has meddled in elections since what? 1948, it was Italy, if I'm not mistaken. If we've been meddling that long, is it any surprise to you all that the White House, the Biden White House, has decided to wade into this presidential election in Venezuela and has decided to make some kind of a statement about it? Pal, how about you stop cheating in ours and maybe we'll give a fat rip what you think about other countries? That's where I'm going with this. 37 miles. Game over. Lights out. This election's done. Done. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what they said, slamming Venezuela for trying to exclude opposition candidates. That's rich. Next. So I almost, if I wasn't so fussy right now, I would almost have asked our voice guy, Kelly Pigeon, who's awesome. He does all of our opens and all that stuff. I would have said, hey, Kel, I need you to make me a kind of like a game show sounder for something called That's Rich. And we're going to have That's Rich and we'll have whatever it is once a week. Well, I don't even need to do that because this is the decided winner. The hypocrisy, the disconnect, the lack of care, that lack of translation, the 37 miles. It's everything. It's everything. It's everything. Breitbart.com. White House slams Venezuela for trying to exclude leading opposition candidate from the 2024 election ballot. I mean, like, really? You can't even make some of this crap up. So you're going to slam Venezuela for trying to kick off a candidate? A top political candidate running for office, you want them off the ballot. The White House says, you really shouldn't do that. That's not really very clear, like election stuff. You really should. Really? Really? Does anybody in this White House have a mirror? Right? I should send just black kettles, pot kettle, right? Here you go, pot kettle black. There you go. The Biden White House criticized Venezuela's president, Nicolas Maduro, Tuesday, for barring the leading opposition candidate from his country's upcoming elections after Democrats tried to do the same to Donald Trump. Maria Corina Machado won the opposition primary in Venezuela last year. She's been favored in the polls to beat Maduro in the July elections, possibly putting an end to the authoritarian rule of Hugo Chavez's successor. So you're going to stay in power. This is Joe Biden. I mean, obviously not Joe Biden because he's demented and he's gone and whatever. He's in a hyperbaric chamber. But this is that idea. As long as you're in power, right, you can make decisions that allow you to stay in power indefinitely. It's the same thing as Vladimir Zelensky waving his magic wand and saying because of the war with Russia, the elections that were supposed to be held like right around now, isn't it supposed to be the end of this month in Ukraine? He's like, yeah, we're not going to do that. I'm going to stay in power. I know what that's what we're going to do because it's a hard time for us to ask to change course. It's so scummy. The Maduro regime blocked the Democratic Unity Platform opposition coalition from registering its candidate by midnight early Tuesday. This chosen successor, Dr. Corina Yoris, blocked as well one of the parties in this race. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre asked about the Maduro regime's actions during a press briefing on Air Force One Tuesday afternoon, said, obviously, we're deeply concerned by the National Electoral Council's decision to prevent the registration of the Democratic Opposition Party's candidate, Dr. Corina Yoris. It's all written out for her. We're working with other members of the international community to ensure that Venezuelans can participate in inclusive and competitive elections. Wow. And urge representatives of Maduro to allow all candidates to run. Hello, bring Hi, Colorado? Maine? Yeah. You know that thing you tried to do? They can't get out of their way. We support the will and the right of the Venezuelans and the Venezuelans' political parties to select presidential candidates. We're monitoring the situation closely. What you should be monitoring is our southern border. Corrine. She suggested that Venezuela could lose sanctions relief if the Maduro regime did not provide for free and fair elections. The White House has been silent about efforts by the Democratic Party, of course, to exclude former President Trump from the ballot. We don't need to talk about that. Shut up. An effort that was only ended when the Supreme Court ruled unanimously last month against such efforts. I don't know. You try to explain things. How do you explain that? You don't. You have people who are so twisted in their own lies and their own bribes and their own suck and their own filth, and they can't get out of their own way. And this ends when enough of us rise up and force it to. That should be the scary part for these people. Because if they thought January 6th was an insurrection with an intent to overthrow the government, which would have been the lamest insurrection ever, I mean, at least bring, a slingshot. No weapons. There was nothing found. Nothing, right? What a laugh. You guys, and I know the J6ers listen from prison. I know you do. You know who you are. If that's what you were trying to do, you were woeful at overthrowing the government. Now, if you were just there because you love America and you wanted to support Donald Trump and you wanted to cross your fingers and hold your breath that your elected representatives would do the right thing because they promised you that that's what they would do, right? Sort of like the Democrats have promised black voters for generations, we got your back. You ain't black if you don't vote for us. We understand you. This is all of it. This is 37 miles. Where's your heart? Paying respects to a woman who lost her husband, who was shot by a thug, and he was a thug, and anybody out there who thinks thug is racist, suck it. Thug. A thug. Who had 21 different felony arrests. A guy who apparently had, and I'm sorry about this, folks, it's graphic. Who had apparently inserted a shiv into his rectum. Because he was pretty sure he was going to get pinched again. And thank goodness for Kathy Hochul's, no bail, whatever. He was able to bounce out, or no cash bail, whatever it is. He was able to get back on the streets. So when at a traffic stop, Officer Jonathan Diller came up and said, hey, hands out the window, license and registration. Pop, pop, pop. That's where we are, ladies and gentlemen, 37 miles. When we come back, what's going on with this bridge thing in Baltimore? I've specifically stayed away from it. We wanted to see who was saying what about it. John Guandolo, former FBI agent, Marine, national security perspective on this. Don't miss it. Next.